Welcome to Education Today. My name is Dr. Sarah McManus, and I'm your host. The program is brought to you by the Triangle Radio Reading Service and is intended for visually and print-impaired audiences. Today our topic is accessible physical education and sports. We have with us today our special guest, Mr. Ryan Watts. Mr. Watts is the president of the Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind. He is the co-director of the Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind track meet and a coach and physical education teacher at the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
Ryan, it sounds like you are extremely busy and you have a lot going on, thinking about all those titles that I just mentioned. Could you just tell us a little bit about your roles for each of these? We're going to touch on it a little bit more as we go along in the program, but just tell us a little bit about your role at the Governor Moorhead School and with the Education Athletic Association for the Blind.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Thank you for inviting me. I guess it was not too many years ago, but probably more than I'd want to admit. In 1993 is when I started at Governor Moorhead School. I was working 4 years in Vance County, and they called me up and said they didn't have a job in physical education, but they had a job in a self-contained classroom. And if I would come, the teacher was retiring, I could have the job next year. So I went there in 1993, started in September. And the following August, next school year, I started as a physical education teacher that year. So at that time, we had three PE teachers at the school. Now it's just me. But back then, so what happened is, like I said, the second year I worked there in 94, I started coaching. I coached goalball. And I've actually got a student that I taught back in 1994, Wally Salahuddin, and actually assists me in class now.
Oh, wow.
Which it seems like it was yesterday, but it seems like it was forever. But we can still talk about, you know, remember those days and lessons learned. But I was in 94, Coach Goldball, and I remember that experience. And I'm happy to have him at the school now. So after that, we got into, like, track and field. And then started helping out with wrestling, and we offered cheerleading also. So as time went by, and I got people left, then I started going to coaches' meetings. And we have a coaches' meeting every September. So through those coaches' meetings, people left, and they needed a co-athletic. They actually needed two directors because if people resigned, because like all of us, I'm 51, we're all going to get to that point where we have to call it quits. So they actually needed two people, one to do the running, one to do the field events, and they needed volunteers, and somebody nominated me and another guy that I've been friends with for a long time. So that's how that began, and I've been doing that for probably 6 to 10 years, directing that whole tournament in May. And as far as the president, there again, along with responsibility, we usually had back 20-some years ago, it was the same two people that kind of flip-flop, vice president and president. And then it kind of the same thing happened the last 10 years. And now those people are trying to get out. And I got nominated as president-elect a year ago at our meeting. And I started serving as president this September.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
This school year.
Yeah. Sounds like you... people think very highly of you, and you get nominated for these roles. And so I also know that you were nominated and you got an award this fall for Educator of Excellence Award that the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction gave out. So congratulations on that. I know that's quite an honor.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about that award that you received.
Well, that really surprised me. I guess the first thing that I think is humility or whatever, because I'm very humbled by the award, but at the same time, you know, it makes me feel not only proud for myself, but proud for the school and honored to receive the award because same thing with the Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind, GMS. You know, I've worked there since 1993. That's like my second family. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of other staff there that have such great experiences they offer to our kids with visual impairments that they would be just as well deserved to receive that award. So so I was very humbled and very honored to receive that.
That's excellent. You seem to be a very humble individual.
I try to be.
You mentioned goalball earlier. So I know you talked about teaching goalball. You talked about track. We're going to talk about several different sports here. But tell us first what classes you teach at the Governor Moorhead School and how you ensure that students with visual impairments can fully participate rather than just sitting on the side or just having a one-on-one experience.
Oh, definitely. You'll always be able to tell my age because I'll go back in time because to understand some things, I want to talk about how I first, because I still remember it just like it was yesterday. When I first started working in physical education in 1994, I remember seeing those kids that were totally blind, not just the ones with some vision, but the ones that are totally blind, and all of them as far as that goes, because I taught elementary before I got there, and they were running all over the place, and I'm like, they're going to get hurt. You know, what am I going to do? So within probably a couple of months, I realized that I shouldn't treat them any different than anybody else. And that's when I started realizing that the first thing I had to do was no different than I did in elementary school. I needed to teach them orientation and mobility. They need to know their environment because it's like any of us, if we don't know our environment, it's like when we're driving a car traveling, we're not going to feel safe where we're at. So to orientate them to the environment. And once they get to know the environment, then you can start changing some of the rules and boundaries of games. You know, for example, you always just about got to use, we all take for granted our senses. And auditory and tactile is something I think we take for granted. And I remember when I first got there, I'll never forget that either. We had to go under the blindfold to walk, which is orientation and mobility. And then we had to eat, which is very tactile, and it also can be auditory because you got to hear the people beside you and trust them to ask what you want to eat. So
tell me about what do you mean by under the blindfold?
Under the blindfold meaning putting a blindfold on.
Oh, okay.
So and that's one thing that we'll probably talk about later is, you know, everybody, if people wonder what it's like to be blind, you know, they can easily close their eyes, but it's too easy to cheat. Just, you know, get a bandana if you just got a bandana. Put it over you, you know, don't cheat, put it over your head, and try to walk around the house slow. You know, don't hurt yourself. But you'll see what it's like to and have a greater appreciation for what it's like for people without sight, what they have to be in tune to.
Excellent. And I know you mentioned that with, you know, under the blindfold, and you mentioned goal ball. I remember seeing a video where there was a college team where they had an actual goal ball team, and the participants, they, you know, some of them were sighted, but they all had blindfolds, and so they played that way. And so that I thought that was very interesting.
Yes, and that's another thing that a lot of people don't realize. They say, well, it's actually a sport, which I guess we'll talk about later on. Can we talk about it
now?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay, we'll talk about it now. So the goal ball is actually a sport that I believe I'm correct, the dates. Like when the veterans came back wounded from World War II around 1942, an Austrian guy developed it because we all take for granted being able to go play basketball or participate in a recreational activity. Well, the wounded veterans and some of the people who were wounded were having a hard time. They were very active before, but now they didn't have a sport. So he developed it especially for them. So what it is tactile lines on the floor, and it's three positions. And you have a ball with bells in it, which comes the auditory part. And then, of course, the lines are tactile, but you have a center position and then a right and left wing, and they're facing each other, and they've got that tactile court. And this ball is pretty heavy with bells in it, and the audience has to stay quiet, which is hard for a sporting event until somebody scores. And coaches can't coach. You have to give hand signals. The only time you can talk is during a timeout. But so it's all on them, but they, because they have to listen to that ball and they have to lay down and try to block it. So it's a really rough sport, and a lot of kids love it in the beginning, but then they realize how much you have to get up and get down. It's a very, you know, activity oriented sport.
Yeah.
Very physical. Very physical.
Wow, excellent. Yeah, so we wanted to talk about different physical activities, but before we do that, let's talk about what advice you can give to parents. Because as you said, when you first started, you were nervous about the students getting hurt. I know there are some parents that might be nervous about their students getting hurt by being involved in physical activities because they can't see as well. So what advice would you have for parents?
Well, the first thing I would say is advocate for your child, which I think every parent does anyway. But advocate for your child to be included. Because I think so many times, you know, it doesn't have to be just visual impairment, but especially, you know, if somebody is visually impaired, they tend to be excluded, and they want them to keep score or just walk because number one, it's not always their fault. Either they don't want them to get hurt or they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But so advocate. And then the most important thing is, and it's never too early to start, is to teach them how to advocate for themselves, you know, in PE class and in activities, because basically any sport that they're doing in class should be able to be broken down into smaller step skills that they should be able to, or like you said before, the rules, boundaries, and equipment, things should be kind of altered a little bit so they still can play. And one of the things that people don't realize is it'd be easier for kids that are blind or visually impaired in the school system if they would just blindfold all the other kids, mm-hmm. no matter what activity they're doing, and they then find a helper, somebody to help them out or be a sighted guide for them when they're playing a game. Or, for example, if they're, you know, if they've got a base or they're shooting basketball, put a mat down, something tactile so the kid, and don't just, you know, in that part, you don't really have to sight guide them around. You can just give them directions because we all need to work on directions. Mm-hmm. Just tell them right, left, backwards, forwards, and get so they can get used to moving into that environment safely. And that's the main thing.
Oh, wow.
And also, something that people don't realize as far as talking about parents or people that want to know how to work with somebody, tactile modeling, let them feel what you're doing. Now, something like running is hard to do.
Yeah.
See, if we had plenty of money and somebody really wanted to do something, they could invent, like, and it's probably something out there, a robotic machine to where you could just press in with skill, and that would make my job a lot easier, too, to repetitively do the motion.
Oh,
but yeah. Running is hard to teach because they can't feel you where you're running. You mm-hmm. can go through it slowly, the steps picking up, heel, toe. So the same thing with tactile modeling. If you're throwing a ball, they can feel, let them put, mm-hmm. you know, they got two hands. So let them put one hand on the back of your hand and one on your elbow. Let them feel what that motion feels like. And also, don't be afraid to, physically manipulate them through the skill. Something like kicking. You can get mm-hmm. the girl follow through. You know, I'll get their elbow and arm and go forward and let them feel what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people just are scared to, and one of the other funny things real quick, this is probably something totally different. I don't know how many times two things has happened in my life. People say, the first thing they do when I tell them what I do, they say, mm-hmm. do you know sign language?
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't know. I'm, like I say, I'm very humble. I don't know how to tell them, you know. Nah, that's not going to help
that's
me
not
very
help
much.
Me.
Exactly.
That's funny. So, you know, you talked about running a little bit, and then you talked about goal ball a little bit, but I want to go in deep on each one of these. And so let's start with walking and running. So if you were going to teach a student how to walk or run, or if you had any advice for parents or other educators across North Carolina on how to teach students how to start, you know, being more physical and more active in the walking, running phase, what would you do?
One of the things I think that even as adults or, you know, older adults, younger adults, whoever, mm-hmm. you know, walking is one of the things that we all have to do. We have to walk to a grocery store to get in line at the bank or get in line at, a clothing store. Or we have to walk all the time. So that's why I try to encourage the kids, you know, walking is good.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage, you know, for people to get them out, not just at a track, but get them out like on trails and all, and you can talk to them and let them, and that one you probably will have to let them hold on to you some, but let them get out on nature trails and tell them what's going on, because that's what a lot of people don't realize is also if you're teaching them to walk or run, it's called sighted guide. You've got a guide that's sighted that guides you. The main thing you got to remember is don't worry so much about their technique. Just let them have fun and mm-hmm. describe the environment because, you know, we take for granted there again, we can see things, but, you know, tell them, you know, that pretty, you know, robin that's in a tree or what's coming up and all. And it's the same thing when you're teaching them, even in our sports, if we're going around a curve, you got to let them know, hey, we got to take a left hand up here, or we got to, if you're doing an actual race, which hopefully some of them could get up to where it could do competitive,
mm-hmm.
and they could very well do that with a sighted guide, because what happens with the sighted guide is they can start out as simple as holding your shoulder or elbow, which is a proper sighted guide, and we've got an orientation mobility teacher that would be glad to teach you the proper way to do it, but hold it behind the elbow. But what a lot of people do is they use the tethers, which you can just get a shoestring or any kind of, and just tie it like in a loop, or you can mm-hmm. just leave it like it is. And each person holds on to it. And that's that is for safety reasons. So if they try to get away, but if you're communicating to them which way to go, that won't happen. But they use a tether, and that's what a lot of people use in the higher competitions, because what actually happens with all of these events, because running is going to lead to track, and we'll talk about that later on. But what a lot of people don't realize is, and goalball is involved in this too, in the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics, right after whatever the venue's held at, like 2 or 3 weeks after they're through with the regular Olympics, they have what's called Paralympics. And this includes people in wheelchairs, but it also includes people with visual impairments. They play the goalball on that level, and it's very hard to make it, and it's just as hard to make that as it is the regular Olympics. Yeah. But a lot of people don't realize, and they are beginning to televise that more, like on MSNBC. So next time the Olympics come around, remember 2 or 3 weeks after that, try to catch like the Paralympics, because you've got kids that are visually impaired swimming, you know, playing goalball, running track and field.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, we have to support our athletes
exactly
at all levels. Let's turn to tandem bicycling. What about that?
Tandem bicycling is something that I kind of took for granted, because I've always loved riding a bicycle. And we had a camp, I want to say it was probably 15, 20 years ago, but it was a club called Greater Raleigh something. But anyway, to make a long story short, I got in contact with them, and they were more than happy to come to our school. And they used to come to our school, but there again, they've got older. But it's still a lot of clubs out there. But they came to the school with their different bikes, and we've got helmets, and they fit it to seat correctly. And they let the kids ride on the back, because with tandem, you don't have to have sight, because you've got a pallet in front. Mm-hmm. And there again, in the Paralympics or at a competing level, if you want to compete, you can still compete, because you've got what is called a sighted pallet in front. And you still have to work together and communicate. But if you're totally blind, you still can ride on the back, and you still got to do your work.
You still got to work.
but it gives the kid that sense of freedom of what it's like to ride a bike. And there again, you know, they can do it at any level. It can be just for enjoyment. So what I would, you know, with that, check with your local clubs if they had a bike club, or what you really would like to find is a tandem bicycling club nearby. Or just anybody that's got a tandem bike, and don't hesitate to ask them. All they can do is say no.
That's right.
You know, hey, you know, could I get a ride with you or whatever? I mean, how can somebody say no to that?
That's right. That's right. Wow. So it sounds like there are lots of opportunities for persons who are maybe have visual impairments their whole life, or adults who are going blind due to old age or other issues, to get involved in sports and also other activities. I do want to touch on just a few more. You mentioned goalball, but how would a person get involved with goalball? Is it like a goalball team in Raleigh or across the state?
Yes, actually, Durham has one, and Raleigh has one, and actually the Abertree supports one. I believe that is on Fridays, and I believe Bridge to Sports, which is a organization in Durham, they have one on Thursday at nighttime. So just try to get in touch with those two organizations. Mm-hmm. And also, with any of these activities, the first thing you want to do is, like, Wake County and Durham County has a rec department that has a special department that that provides activities, for example, including bowling, you know, horseback riding, maybe some different things that they provide for. So they actually offer some of these clinics at different times. So check, you know, first check with your rec department and see in your county and see if they offer it. And if not, tell them that they need one.
That's right. That's right. You can always start a goalball team if you don't have one. That's awesome. Let's turn our attention to the Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind. I understand that the winter tournament will be held at Governor Moorhead School, and it's later this month. Tell us a little bit about that tournament and when it will take place.
What happens there is the athletes and other teams, what the Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind is, it was established estimated around 1946, and it consists of teams, and not all the teams come to all the tournaments, from all the way up at Perkins in Boston, Philadelphia, all the way down to Florida, you know, South Carolina. But at this tournament, we've got the New York Institute for Special Education from New York. We've got Maryland, West Virginia School for the Blind, and there's one more. Overbrook from Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, okay.
Overbrook, New York, Maryland, and West Virginia. Mm-hmm. There you go. And they're going to have five cheerleading teams and, five cheerleading teams. And I think, they're going to have wrestling in different classes.
Okay.
And what'll happen is they'll come in on the Friday and stay to Sunday and depart on Sunday. And they'll practice, cheerleaders will practice on Friday. But on Saturday, the competition will start at 9 in the morning, and it'll run through 3 with a lunch break at 12, probably from like 12 to 1:15. And they'll start cheering, and they'll do some wrestling and cheer some more, and then finish the wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And the public is welcome to come. It's free to the public. So all you got to do is come, and, hopefully we'll have it so full. We don't have a lot of bench space, but we can have plenty of places for people to sit around the mat to watch. I would love to have it full.
Excellent, excellent. So if you do not have anything to do, or if you want to change your plans for January 28th, please do so. The students would love to have you support them. That is on the Saturday, January 28th from 9 to 3 in the gymnasium on the GMS campus. And so you did mention that it was no charge. You have cheerleading, then wrestling, and then you'll have some awards at the end. I understand that this isn't the only tournament that the EAAB has. Tell us about some of the other tournaments that will take place.
Yeah, one that has become popular back in 93 when it seems like we just started goalball. Goalball wasn't really that popular, and now goalball has become the most popular sport for a lot of obvious reasons. Kids love it, and it's very adaptable to kids with visual impairments. So now that tournament is usually in March, and we'll be traveling to Virginia March 17th through the 19th for that. And that has a lot more teams. Florida B always comes up for that, and Virginia always participates in that. So there'll be quite a few more teams, for example, in that. And what they've started doing is we used to, back when we just started, we would do wrestling, cheerleading, and goalball in the same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And goalball got so big that it had to have a separate weekend.
Wow.
which is a good and bad thing. It means one extra travel weekend. But back in the day, they did double elimination. The kids only got 2 games. So now what they try to do is if 8 or 9 teams, you have 2 different pools, and everybody gets to play at least, 4 games, 3 or 4 games. Instead
Excellent.
Of just 2.
So if you actually travel up to Virginia, if you go there for that tournament, you'll get to see lots of games being played. Are you taking a team this year?
Yes, we are. Our attendance has been kind of all over the place the last 10 years, and we went from having, a full team every year to only carrying 1 or 2 kids. But a lot of, like I said, this is my second family also, and I know a lot of years I only carry like 1 guy, 1 girl. And because they always say, if you ever stop something, it's hard to get
That's
it back
right.
up. So, but I stuck with it. And now we should have, not only 3, but we should have 4 or 5 on each team, boys and girls. So we're excited about it this year. And they keep on bugging me saying they can't wait to the wrestling chilling tournament so they can start goalball. And I said, easy.
That's funny. And then I also hear there's a track team that's going to be going. You're the co-director for the track meet. So tell us a little bit about that and when that will take place.
Yes, track, like I said, that'll be always comes up in May. And that consists of some of the same, events that are in regular track. They have the short distance running, 50 and 75. And we, most every school has cables for that, where the kids that are totally blind can hold on to the cables, because when you're running fast, it's a lot harder and you got to have somebody that's a lot faster than you if you're going to sight guide. And we don't really have, I know at 51, I used to could run, but probably some of my students are fast. So we let them use the cables. Now, in the long distance runs, like the mile run, and we have some events or whatever, like 224, 40. They do use sighted guys. Sometimes it's a coach, sometimes it's another student, but you got to have that guy that's leading you, because if the worst thing to do too is for the sighted guy to be pulling the one that's telling you that's not what we want, but that's happened sometimes too. But you want that person just to lead, but you want them to be a little bit faster than
a little bit faster. Yeah, wow. So that'll take place sometime in New York.
Yes, in May.
In May. Okay, excellent. And so, again, we hope that the public will be able to go out and support you. But where would they get more information once the dates are updated?
They could go to our website, governormorehisschool.net, and it should be on there what dates they are.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And then I just want to get your advice. You've been teaching for a number of years. You have a lot of experience, not only working with the students at the Governor Moorhead School, but you also have worked with teachers out in the LEAs, helping them learn how to adapt physical education for students with visual impairments. What do you see as the future of physical education for students with visual impairments? How do you see things changing for the future?
I see some positive things. I've been to a lot of workshops, and for example, Charlotte Mecklenburg has a very strong TVI, Teacher with Visual Impairments and Adaptive PE. A lot of those professionals work together to provide opportunities for these kids. And what a lot of them are realizing is instead of these kids being excluded, they're mainstream into the regular classroom with adaptations. Now, some of them might not be able to be there the whole time, but the goal is what I would like to see is for at least 90% of the kids that, you know, have a visual impairment be able to be mainstream into the regular class. And that doesn't mean they got to be doing the same thing that class is doing 100% of the time, but at least part of the time they should be part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they're not, they could break up into smaller groups. But that's my vision for the future. And I think some schools are getting better at it. And I think it's just like anything in life, it's just, you know, people being receptive and open and educating people on, like, look, just think about it. This is some things you can do. I'm not telling you what to do, but this is some things you can do. And again, going back to advocating, that's a good experience for a child, because the PE teacher might say, no, we're not going to do that. But I'm telling you, if you keep on asking enough and you keep on talking to enough people, it's going to happen sooner or later. Say, I want to do that. And they can say, well, how you do that? And it's got to be a way. We'll say, call Ryan Watts at Governor Morris School, and I'll give him some ideas.
Excellent, excellent, wonderful. Well, are there any parting thoughts for our audience?
No, I would just like to thank you for the opportunity. I've really enjoyed, you know, talking to you today about these subjects. I know it's a lot of other, so much to talk about because it's been so many years. But I would just like to offer, you know, if anybody out there ever wants to talk to me about anything, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily about sports, but any, you know, person with visual impairments out there, they want to call me, they can call my gym number, 919-715-5982. And if I'm out there, you can leave a message, or you can email me at ryan.watts@esdb.dpi.gov.
NC.gov.
Yeah, NC.gov. See? See, it's
that's okay. We'll repeat it for the audience. Ryan.Watts@esdb.dpi.nc.gov. Excellent. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today on Education Today. Your thoughts and advice are very inspiring. I think you have a passion for making sure that students are included and that physical education is accessible, and you're really concerned about all children having that same understanding. As a reminder to the audience, the Eastern Athletic Association for the Blind Wrestling and Cheerleading Tournament will take place on Saturday, January 28th from 9 to 3 in the gymnasium on the GMS campus, which is located across from Pullen Park. And it's the campus is at 301 Ash Avenue. The gym is actually 303 Ash Avenue. It is free. It's open to the public. And thank you so much for joining us on Education Today. We've run out of time. But as a reminder, this program is brought to you by the Triangle Radio Reading Service. It is intended for visually and print impaired audiences. And this is Dr. Sarah McManus signing off. Thank you.
Uh-huh.